problem with parking or finding where to go? Was this pretty straightforward and, you know, where to find the place? I mean, those who have been here before know, but I think there's many people who registered who've never been here before, so maybe they're lost. But in either regard, welcome. My name is Laurent Repass. I'm the EMS Information Systems Chief for Orange County EMS. Today is an overview of the new mandates with regard to data compliance for EMS providers. But to get started, I'd like to figure out who is in the audience. There's a lot of faces that I am familiar with, but there are several more that I'm not familiar with. So I wouldn't mind if we kind of go around the audience and see who's here and where you work. So I really am looking at your name and what agency you work for or represent. And I'll kind of start off here to the left of the room. Lifeline Ambulance. Royalty in the back. I know all you guys. All right, go over here. Oh, sure. In Alltown. Okay, go in the back there. Pacific Doctors. Okay. Okay. Come over here. PMT. Okay. In the back. Okay. Okay. In the back there. Horizon. Okay. Over here. Okay. Okay, very well. Thank you. Well, I'm just a little curious. Out of all the providers that are here, how many of you have experience with or have recently implemented an electronic PCR system? Raise your hands high. Okay. For those of you who have launched a ePCR system, do you know what version it is? Is it a NemSys 2 system? If it's a NemSys 2 system and you know what it is, raise your hand. Okay. How about any NemSys 3 systems? Okay, NemSys 3 systems. Okay, very well. Kind of starting. How many of you are still on paper? Still on a paper-based system? Okay, very good. How many of you feel that you have reasonable understanding of what's happening with regard to state law and state mandates when it comes to data compliance? How many of you have no idea? It's okay. All right. The intent of today is to provide you with guidance and a pathway to understand all of these mandates and to assist you with navigating those mandates so that by the end of this year, you can be compliant and you can be successful. I feel that we've put together a really good process, and I want to walk you through that process now. There'll be plenty of opportunities to ask questions. I'm going to ask that you withhold your questions until after the presentation. It's about a 30 or so minute presentation. The idea of today is really to give you an opportunity to ask questions so that you understand what it is that's actually happening here and how you can navigate through these new statutes and policies. So as I mentioned, we're here to discuss specifics regarding the new state law. As well as local policies that govern EMS provider data submission requirements. So we have several new policies and procedures that address the new state mandates, and I'll be walking you through that. If you're not familiar with NemSys or not familiar with NemSys compliance, I'll be walking you through what NemSys actually is and also talk you through the flow of EMS data from the moment that your chart is created by your field providers all the way through to its delivery to the federal government. So I'll be talking a little bit about that. I'll be mentioning how to become compliant at a local level. And if you're compliant with us, I'm understanding that other LEMSAs will likely be following or doing similar things as us, but I can't, nor do I know what other LEMSAs are actually doing. I can really only speak for Orange County. But walking you through how to become compliant with us, which will make you compliant for the state as well. And then give you an introduction to the Orange County Medical Emergency Data System. And then finally, what the real intent here is to have and kind of spark a discussion and have some dialogue as well as some question and answers towards the end. So anyway. So what is NEMSIS? Excuse me for a second. Get my water. Where did I put my water? There it is. Okay. What is NEMSIS? NEMSIS is the National EMS Information System. It is basically the national standard of documentation nationwide. Every state in the nation has signed an MOU with the feds to deliver data. And that level of data that needs to be delivered is, current version is version 3.4. And so NEMSIS 3 is fundamentally different than NEMSIS 2. For those of you who are using an EPCR system, most of you are on a NEMSIS 2 system. That NEMSIS 2 platform was based on much older technology, much older standards, and really wasn't interoperable with healthcare information technology. What that means is that NEMSIS 2 systems couldn't really effectively share data with hospitals. The NEMSIS 3 systems can effectively do that, and so we are now in a position to actually be able to share data with facilities bidirectionally and with healthcare providers in general. And what this effectively does is bring EMS into the healthcare continuum in ways that it never was before. So whereas many of you or some of you may consider yourself as ambulance transport providers, the feds actually consider you to be healthcare providers now, and part of that healthcare continuum is transitioning to these electronic data systems that are consistent with what the rest of healthcare is actually doing. So the states are all mandated or required to begin to submit data to the feds in the NEMSIS 3 format no later than January 1 of 2017. So you're going to hear that date over and over and over again. And so KMSIS, or the California EMS Information System, is the state's version of NEMSIS, basically. It includes all of the standard federal data elements, as well as those additional data elements that the state has defined as being required locally for our state. All right. As with NEMSIS, this is a standardized data set. Its current version is 3.4, just like NEMSIS is. It meets national and statewide data standards. And all local EMS agencies are required to submit data to the state from their providers no later than January 1st of 2017. All right. So let's forward this off a little bit. What's OC Meds? OC Meds is basically our local data system. It's the Orange County Medical Emergency Data System. It is compliant with NEMSIS, it's compliant with KMSIS, and it also includes a layer of data elements that meets the local needs of the Orange County EMS system. So likely other LEMSAs will be doing something similar to what we're doing in that we need to meet the federal requirements, we need to meet the state requirements, and now we have our own local requirements on top of that. Our version is 3.4, just like everybody else. And we are going to be requiring that all of our EMS providers, public or private, emergency or non-emergency, submit data to us in NEMSIS 3 format no later than January 1st of 2017. Okay. So what's a PCRS? If you've reviewed our policies, you're probably familiar with this term now. Some of you may not have seen this in the policy, so it may be new. But a PCRS is basically a patient care reporting system. So if you have an EPCR system, that is your PCRS. If you're using our system as your PCRS, you can do that. Okay. So basically, a PCRS is an EPCR system that allows you to capture patient care events from the moment that your dispatch is called all the way through to the time where you arrive at the hospital and post your run. These new systems are designed to be live. So in other words, they're designed to be utilized at the patient's bedside. They're designed to be used at the patient's bedside. So we're not retrospectively entering data into some database, two, three, four, 6 months later, we're actually entering patient data at the patient's bedside and then posting that data once the call is completed. And so that's really an example of a modern PCRS. So I'll be using that term throughout. But these PCRS systems now must be compliant with their LEMSA in California. They must be compliant with KMSIS. They must be compliant with NEMSIS. And so there we have a couple of software vendors here as an example. But that is part of what you'll be experiencing going forward, is understanding what a PCRS is, understanding whether or not the one that you have is compliant with these standards, and if it's not, how to ensure that it is compliant so that inevitably you are compliant. So this is just a little diagram, or just a little graphic, really, to give what I just said a little bit of scale. The national data set is the most narrow focus. It includes a number of federal requirements that we all must meet. On top of that is the state data set, which on top of the federal requirements has its own requirements. And then the local data set builds upon the federal standards, the state standards, and then our own local standards. So when it comes to the transmission of data, we're actually now in a position with these new systems that the moment, and imagine this, because this may sound futuristic, but believe me when I say that it's not, we're actually going to be doing this in the next couple of weeks. But imagine for a second that the moment that your PCR is posted to your system, that it transmits data to our system, and then we transmit data to the state, and then the state transmits data to the feds. That process all happening in under 5 minutes. So every single call from the moment that your call is completed to the time it ends up in the hands of the federal government is 5 minutes. That process is actually working. We're actually getting it to the point where it's going to be working here very soon. And so that's the reality of where we're at now. Your data is no longer stovepiped. Your data is based on a standard, and your data is transmitted through to all of these regulatory agencies within a matter of minutes. And so that's a cornerstone of the NEMSIS standard, is that it truly allows for the portability of this information in real time, in ways that we've never seen before, in ways that have always been, like I said, futuristic. But the fact is that is the way it works now. And we have providers who are already submitting data in NEMSIS 3, and we're already positioning ourselves to submit our data live to the state. And likely, and at the same time, the state's setting up to submit to the feds. So it's all happening right now. I'm not going to toot my own horn, but we'll be the first LEMSA to do it. So it's a good thing, and it brings EMS truly into what the rest of healthcare has been doing for many years. The rest of healthcare is already used to these kinds of interfaces, this kind of transparency, and EMS is now squarely right in the middle of being a part of healthcare, and this is one of the main components of that. So. Okay, so to get you a little idea of how it is that we got here, I put together a timeline for you to understand all the steps that we've taken to that kind of culminates into this compliance meeting. And so in anticipation of these new federal requirements, OCMS put together a countywide task force since February of 2015. With a focus of transitioning our existing NEMSIS 2 systems to a NEMSIS 3 system, and then understanding all of the impacts that would have on our local EMS system and on our providers. And so at that time, we invited ambulance companies, fire departments, hospitals, and to sit in on this committee, and that larger committee formed several subgroups. And those subgroups were designed to build a data dictionary, to identify training needs, to design EPCR templates, to design the type of equipment that would be most advantageous to use in the field. And so those subgroups were identified all the way back in February 2015. So fortunately, we were right, because in February 27th of 2015, Assembly Bill 1129 was introduced into the State Assembly, and that Assembly Bill inevitably became the statewide mandate. And so we pre-positioned ourselves at a very good time, fortunately, which is why we're able to stand here today and say we're ready to go. So we pushed our software vendor to get a Nemsys 3 system up for us, and we received that system in March of 2015. In September, after the summer, those subgroups that I just mentioned to you began meeting, and in some cases they met several times a week. Sometimes they were meeting for 4 or 5 hours at a time. And if you can imagine sitting in a room talking about a data dictionary, you know, every week, you know, 2-3 times a week for 4 or 5 hours is enough to drive anybody crazy. But the thing is the groups were committed, and they actually did a great job, and we have products as a result of that. And I'll be demonstrating and showing those to you today. So on September 30th, AB 1129 was signed into law, and it became effective as 1797.227 of the Health and Safety Code on January 1st of 2016. So this new state law is what mandates every EMS provider to become compliant and to transition to an electronic system. Mandates that all EMS providers utilize Nemsys 3 for patient care documentation. Shortly after the law went into effect, the state EMS authority issued a letter. You probably all have seen it. If not, it is available on our website to read. But basically, that letter clarified what it is meant by these new mandates. Becoming aware that we have several EMS providers that had not transitioned to an electronic system, and at that time were certainly not on a Nemsys 3 system, we sent out a poll to all of our ambulance providers to just determine where you guys are at. So it was just to figure out where you are. And we received a variety of responses. And as a result of the responses, it was clear that several ambulance providers weren't sure what Nemsys was. Several ambulance providers weren't sure what software they were going to use or where they were using. And if they were using software, they weren't sure if it was Nemsys 2 or Nemsys 3. And we got a variety of responses with regard to whether or not they were ready to implement something. So we had, hey, we're implementing next month, or we're going to implement in December. And so that poll was somewhat all over the place. The result of that is also posted on our website. Right after that poll was sent out on January 29th, there was an EMCC meeting where Dr. Stratton, announced these new data requirements, and that was discussed at the EMCC meeting. On February 3rd, we issued a letter confirming the state's stance and also stating our position and what we were going to be doing with regard to meeting these new requirements. That, too, was posted on the website. On March 30th, the task forces, the subgroups that I mentioned earlier, completed their work. And as a result, they completed EPCR templates and also the first draft of the data dictionary, our local data dictionary. On April 27th, we brought this to the Transportation Advisory Committee, so there was ample opportunity to discuss it and ask questions. And just a couple days later, we also mentioned that mentioned this during the EMCC meeting on April 29th. May 1st, we came out with several policies, policy 300, 332, as well as the data dictionary. And I'll be talking to you about some of the specifics with regard to these policies here, too. Okay. May 23rd, we sent out letters to everybody, all of the ambulance providers. In that letter, you got the invitation to this compliance meeting, as well as requirement to submit an application with regard to what your stance was and what your plans were for implementing an EPCR system. And that deadline was June 15th to submit those. And I think, did we receive from everybody or is there any? Almost everybody. So we got most providers submitted the application. On May 31st, we provided training. So for those agencies who are planning to use our system, we provided training for all of those agencies. And some of you are, were at that training. So the training was on the 31st. The data dictionary, public comment closed on June 19th. And today, here we are, June 22nd. So a variety of things, a variety of steps have taken place to ensure that the community is aware, to make sure that provider agencies are aware. And our goal today, my goal, is actually to help you navigate through the process as much as possible and to answer all your questions from here on out. But everything that you need and everything that we need to accept your data is positioned and ready to go, basically. Okay, so let's talk about the laws a little bit. So 1797.227 is the, and I'll be talking about these more specifically, and the policies that relate to it in some way or another. The main data policies that reference data compliance and data submission is 330, 331, and 332. With 330 establishing the countywide data submission requirement, 331 is the data dictionary, and 332 is how you go about submitting data, basically. So here's the requirement, here's what it is you need to send, here's how to send it. And then 72060 relates mostly to ambulance providers and licensure requirements as it pertains to data. So 797.227, as I mentioned, it became active or effective on January 1st. It basically states that EMS providers shall use an electronic health record that is compliant with the current version of KMPSIS and NMPSIS standards and include those standard elements, those data elements that are required by the local EMS agency. So just as I described to you, there's three layers here that you guys are working through. By meeting the needs of our local standard, you are meeting all of the others as well. Ensure the electronic health record can be integrated with the LEMSA, so it is the responsibility of the provider agency to ensure that your systems can link up with ours and maintain a consistent connection with it. The LEMSA cannot mandate an EMS provider use a specific system, so we can't tell you what to use. We can offer you solutions, we can offer you our system, but we can only offer that to you as an option. So either you use your own system or you can use our system, basically. So you have two options. Okay, so let's talk about 330, the policy. And what I'm doing here, not rereading the policies to you, I'm picking out the high points just so that you have awareness of what's actually contained in there. So 330 basically restates the statute. 330 basically restates the statute and walks you through what the requirements actually are. So ensures that PCRs are submitted to OC Meds Hub immediately upon completion. There's a provision that your PCR system must be compliant with state, federal, and local requirements. Also states that as of 2017, only data may only be submitted using the current version of NMPSIS. So basically what that means is some of you are currently using a NMPSIS 2 system and submitting data, you can continue to use those NMPSIS 2 systems up until the end of the year. That's fine. What we won't do is accept any new connections from a NMPSIS 2 system. So if your EPCR is a NMPSIS 2 system, we're not going to accept that data if it's a new connection. We'll only accept new connections from a NMPSIS 3 system. Okay. Next thing here that's very important to highlight is if you're using your own patient care reporting system, as I mentioned earlier, you can use OC Meds as your patient care reporting system. but if you choose to use your own, that system must be certified compliant by the NEMSIS Technical Assistance Center. So what does certified compliant mean? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come over here actually for a second. It's incredibly important that before you go out and spend a bunch of money on a system, that you ensure that that software that you're going to purchase is certified compliant by the feds. If it is not certified compliant, and this is where we're going to go to look, if it's not certified compliant in NEMSIS 3, we will not accept your data. Okay, so that's a hard requirement. The system that you use must be certified by the federal government as NEMSIS 3 compliant. And as you can see, there are a variety of software vendors. Over here. Most of you will be selecting a vendor who are certified collect data by NEMSIS. If your current software vendor, if you've selected one already, is not on this list, the time's now to start thinking about a new vendor. If the software that you're using is not NEMSIS 3, but your vendor is on here, it's time for you to start having a discussion with your vendor about upgrading the software that you're using. So we've positioned everything basically 6 months in advance of the deadline. So it's time to start looking, if you haven't done so already. I'm going to be fair in saying that launching an EPCR system is very time-consuming, and that it will turn your organization upside down. So it's very important that you make those preparations now. And starting here with these compliant vendors is a good starting point. Okay, let me move on to the next one. So let's talk about the data dictionary. Okay, so data dictionary is policy 300.31. It's currently a draft. 331 went out for public comment, for 50-day public comment. That public comment ended on June 19th. And based on the comments that were received, which were none, we'll be implementing this fairly soon. So I do have some changes that we will be making based on some discussions during committees and a variety of other things that we've identified, but the data dictionary did not get any comments. So I guess you may have looked at the 400 and some odd pages of it and decided it wasn't something that you wanted to read, which is totally fine. However, the comment period has ended, and we will be implementing a final version of that here soon. And basically, as I mentioned, the data dictionary defines the federal, state, and local requirements. So when you go to your vendors, you need to go to your vendors with what our data dictionary is, because it already meets everything on top of that. So I'm going to go ahead and walk you through the data dictionary and just some specifics of it. Steve, can I move this? Can I just carry it with me? Yes, I can. Never mind. Okay. He's recording what I'm saying, so I just want to make sure he can get it. Do I have to press this, or I have a microphone here? So, okay. All right. So let me just show you some specifics in regard to the data dictionary. So let me come on over here. Okay, so first, I wanted to show you where to find it. So let me show you where to find it. Okay, so if you come on over to our website, hover over OC Meds, and then hover on the data dictionary, click on that, and then you'll be taken here to our to the data dictionary page. And what you'll see here is a main document and a variety of lists. Okay, so these lists are going to be very important, and this document is going to be very important for you to give to your vendor, whoever it may be. If you're using our system, then you don't have to worry about this. It's already built in. But if you're going to a third-party vendor, then that vendor is going to need to see this because that's what they're going to be basing their software on. So the table of contents and the data element list will show you. This is a searchable list, very easy to use. You can use this. So say, for example, you wanted to look up something on a particular page of the data dictionary. Say it was on page 10. And this is the data element that's on page 10, for example. If you wanted to search for a particular name, let's call it impression or primary impression. You can search for that. And I'm going to bring up the primary impression because I'll focus here. What this list also does is give you a crosswalk between NemSys 3 and NemSys 2. So if you had an old system and you want to compare data between the old system and the new system, you can do that. This also highlights whether it's a national element, a state element, and whether or not it's required locally. So here's where the local requirements are specified. And it also tells you if there is additional resources associated with that particular data element. In this case, attachment 12 is your data list for that. So these are all the data lists. Now, not every data element has a data list, but some of them need them. And so you have to be aware of that. So going to the data dictionary itself, let me go look up primary impression. Actually, let me do it easier. Okay. So here's primary impression. I searched for it based on its actual data element number. Now one of the things that I didn't really mention with regard to NemSys 3 is that it is based on federal standards. And for those of you who are into medical billing, you're probably aware of this very keenly, is that everything is based on ICD-10 now. And so this is all compliant with ICD-10. The format is an ICD-10. And this one has a specific list. How many of you have taken a look at ICD-10? Anyone familiar with it? Yeah, there's like tens of thousands of codes in there, up to and including set on fire due to water ski set on fire, basically, or another one, alligator, crushed by a falling alligator is another one, just to give you some examples of how detailed these particular codes get. Well, how can we expect our EMS providers to navigate through ICD-10 for a primary impression? We can't. So we create a locally defined list and interpret that list for our providers. And so an example of one of these data lists is right here. This is our primary impression data list using ICD-10 codes that your vendor would import into their system so that you can now be compliant. Our data dictionary committee literally went through these tens of thousands of ICD-10 codes, and at least one or two people who were on that committee are in this room, so you know. It was meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting just to create this one list. So a lot of time and effort's gone into this, but this is what you can deliver to your vendor to say this is the local standard. Okay. Okay. Moving on. 332, policy 332. Let's see if I can put this back here now. Okay, policy 332 is basically how to submit data. And so the applications that you guys all filled out, or most of you filled out, is included in policy 332. This is one of the requirements that's specified in policy 332. So it establishes a data submission process. It allows EMS providers to submit data and submit an application to gain access, which is what was I just mentioned, allows you to choose whether or not you're going to use our system, the OC Meds Hub, as your EPCR system, or if you're going to use your own system. So if you are a non-emergency ambulance provider, all right, you're not under contract for one of our 911 EOAs, you can select OC Meds as your hub, as your system. However, you need to demonstrate that at least 80% of your non-emergency call volume is performed within, and your patients are picked up within Orange County boundaries. And part of the reason for that is our contract with our vendor is for Orange County patients and Orange County data. So we need to maintain that. And we're not going to be entertaining any use of our system outside of that boundary. All right, so if you want to use the OC Meds Hub as your EPCR system, at least 80% of your calls need to be performed within or picked up within Orange County. So do keep that in mind. And if your PCRS, if you're choosing to use your own system, that system must be certified compliant with NEMSIS. Okay, so I think all of you, or at least most of you, have some experience with filling out the application. It's pretty straightforward, pretty easy. Basically, it's a two-step process. You open up the application, it'll ask you, what are you going to do? OC Meds Hub, or are you going to do your own system? There are various references to the policies. It's also very specific that it's important to read the policies before completing the application. But once that is completed, once you decide which one you're going to go, then there's some additional questions that are asked of you in the application, like the 80% requirement that I just mentioned, as well as if your vendor is certified compliant and demonstrating that compliance. And finally, resources for software vendors. So we can imagine that we're going to have several EMS providers that are going to use their own patient care reporting system, right? If they're using their own patient care reporting system, those software vendors are going to have a number of questions for us, and we're prepared to answer those questions. We have some experience working with software vendors on this type of integration. And so based on that past experience, we've kind of front-loaded a lot of the, anticipated the type of questions that would be asked. And so that is also available on our website. And so I want to just take you there so that when you get asked these questions, that you know where to point your software vendors. So, okay, so come on over here on our website. If you go to the OC Meds section under menu and you hover over resources. So under resources, you'll see a reference to the application that I just talked about. And then you're going to start to see some additional things that would be mostly for software vendors. You get really technical. And for those vendors who are here or folks who have a little bit of technical know-how, we will have our own Schematron file up and running. That's basically our data validation tool. So our data validation tool will be up, and then your software vendor can download our validation tool and import that directly into your system so that you know right away whether your data is compliant or not. So it's a very useful tool that we'll have posted on our system here pretty soon, or on the website really soon. There's a variety of references to the NEMSIS website, specifically in regard to the national Schematron And pretty soon the state will also have their own. But if your vendor downloads our Schematron, they'll meet our needs, the state's needs, and the federal needs, just you know, by default. Some other things here that are important to for your vendors is several samples of XML files, because part of what we did is we built several custom codes or custom elements, but Nemsys 3 allows locals to develop custom elements so long as they're built based on a specific criteria. And so what we did was lay out for you, it's not going to do it because I think this computer's a little weird. Anyway, basically these are XML files that your vendor can look at as examples of how to implement these codes or this new way of doing things. So there are several examples for different types of patients, your abdominal pain patient, a chest pain patient, a cardiac arrest patient, so on and so forth. So you can direct your vendors to go there to go look at how it is we built this standard and how they can basically mimic it. What we also did for software vendors, this has been asked for from us, is a downloadable, easy to import code registry. So instead of having to go through our PDF and manually type in codes, they can just download this. And then that helps your software vendors tremendously. So these tools are available for your vendors, whoever it is that you pick. Now, if your vendor is certified compliant with Nemsys, all of this stuff shouldn't be foreign to them, okay? And if they start asking you a bunch of questions, I'd start asking them and questioning whether or not they're actually compliant, okay? So this stuff should be very straightforward to them. They should understand what a Schematron is. They should understand what a XML file and a Nemsys 3 file is. They should understand how to configure using the custom Nemsys configuration standard. So we put in references from the feds to assist them with building these custom codes that I'm mentioning. And so everything we're doing in our system is completely compliant with federal standards. And we're basically ready to receive your data. Okay. Allow me to continue here. Okay, last policy to go through. And this is in regard to ambulance licensing and how it relates to the data requirement. So all licensed ambulance providers. Let me put this back here. I hate holding this thing. All licensed ambulance providers must submit data to OCMS in Nemsys 3 format for all of their calls, emergency and or non-emergency, no later than December 31st of 2016. Okay, so this is included in Policy 72060. It basically restates what is said in Policy 300.30 in that your system that you choose to use must be certified compliant using the latest version of Nemsys, which is version 3.4, and that the data must be submitted in real time or near real time. And near real time is defined as soon as technologically feasible. And so basically what that means is it's understood that from time to time you may have problems with internet connectivity or system problems or a tablet breaks down or a variety of other issues that could be going on. If you have a technical problem, post your data as soon as you can. But what that doesn't mean is, what technologically feasible doesn't mean is 2 months later submit data. It means submit data live. It means submit data live as soon as you possibly can. And if there's a technical problem, which does happen, we're accounting for that, so it's understood. So if we get it 6 hours later or whatever, fine. Okay, but that is what's meant by near real time. And finally, this is, you may not be able to see the colors all that good, but it's an example of all of our EMS providers, both public and private. And those that are in green, I know the colors aren't showing up all that great there, but those providers that are in green as of today are compliant with NMSIS 3 and submitting NMSIS 3 data. Those providers that are in yellow, and yellow and orange isn't showing up very good, but those providers that are in yellow are those who are actively working towards transitioning. They're actively submitting test data. They have a CAD integration. They've done a whole bunch of steps, and they're ready to go, and they're about ready to go live. Those that are in orange, and this is also posted on our website, but those that are in orange, we know that you're making plans, but we have nothing to prove that you've submitted any data. So we know you're working towards it, but we don't have anything else other than your word. And this is just a picture of our system, a technical schematic of our system. We set up a support website, or I'm sorry, a support email rather. So if you have questions, concerns, you've already been getting emails from this email address if you submitted an application. So you can submit those questions and concerns to our email here. So what I'd like to do now is answer questions that you may have, or concerns or comments, and get that out. So my initial presentation is done. The rest of this is really intended to be a discussion or answer questions that you may have. So I'll kind of hang out and wait to see who asks anything. Yes, sir. In NMSIS 3, there's only one outside vendor, and that's water. So there you go, a little shameless plug. Okay, so yes, one vendor submitting NMSIS 3 from a third-party system. Yes? What kind of restrictions on devices? No restrictions on devices. You're free to use whatever device you want to use. If you're using our system, it's the system's device agnostic, so you can use a Windows device or you can use an iPad or whatever. The restrictions if you use another vendor just depends on what that vendor's software requirements are. But if you're choosing to use the OC Meds Hub and you meet the requirements, then you're free to use whatever it is you want. Yes, sir. When I get back from vacation, so that's the answer. So probably August. Yes, sir.
It appears as though if an organization stays with those events, they'll be very much compliant with all of the local, state, and national data elements. My question pertains to, is that elements that CNS wants mandatory to be submitted into the system?
The way that we are not mandating that you submit dispatch data specifically, a CAD integration is an option. You do not have to submit dispatch data. The only entities that we require dispatch data to be submitted to us is our contracted 911 ambulance providers. They're required to submit dispatch data, but non-emergency providers are not required. It's optional. It's only optional if you want the CAD data so that you can open up your PCR templates. It's advantageous. We won't pay for it. It's something between your vendor, your CAD vendor, and the OC Meds vendor if you go that route. But we're not requiring you to submit CAD data. So, but your times is part of the EPCR data file, which is a separate database from CAD. So, you guys are making it too easy on me. Was I that riveting of a speaker? Okay. I know the subject matter is very dry, but I mean, do you have any other questions? Yes, sir.
Last meeting we had, you said we're using iPad.
Yes. That is correct. If you're using our system, Safari, and you're using an iPad, then Safari would be the browser that you can use. I don't know if, John, you want to elaborate on your system. I know it's browser-based, too, but do they open it in Safari?
Safari and Chrome.
Safari and Chrome, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so if you're using an iPad, it's Safari. If you're using a Windows-based device, you can use whatever browser you want. On a Windows-based device, I'm going to advocate that Chrome is the better browser to use it in. Chrome is the better browser. And once again, it's just, you know, take your pick. It just depends on the device. So everybody's going to have a different IT environment, and it's important that if you haven't already started down this road, 6 months is not a long time at all. You know, so that's why we worked really hard to get this up and running for you guys so that it's done. It's ready to go. We're just waiting for your data now. So start now, I guess, is the message of today. So anybody else? All right. Well, if you don't have any questions or you didn't think of anything to ask today, or you're just too shy and you don't want to come out in public and say it, go ahead and give myself a call. You can give Jason Azuma. I don't know if, Jason, you want to raise your hand really quick so everyone knows who you are. So Jason is here to assist all of you in this implementation process and to accept your data. He'll be your primary point of contact. So you'll be talking with him a lot about these types of things over the next 6 months. You can always email us, email me, give us a phone call. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Okay, so thank you very much, and thank you for coming. All right.